Welcome to Living Well, a special segment on Beaver County Radio, designed to help you enjoy the best, most fulfilling, and healthiest life possible. Dr. Joseph Maroon and Jeff Bost will cover informative topics and give you news that can make living well a reality for you. Living Well is presented by St. Barnabas and can be heard each week at this time right here on Beaver County Radio. Clinical information is provided for educational purposes and not as a medical or professional service. Always remember that the varying views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on this radio show do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of St. Barnabas Health System, St. Barnabas Broadcasting, nor any organization the hosts may be affiliated with. And now, let's join Dr. Joseph Maroon and Jeff Bost for today's program.
Welcome to Living Well. My name is Jeff Bost. I'm a physician assistant in neurosurgery at UPMC and a consultant to St. Barnabas Health System. It's my great pleasure to reintroduce my co-host and colleague of over 35 years, renowned UPMC neurosurgeon, consultant to the Pittsburgh Steelers, world-ranked Ironman triathlete, and also a consultant to St. Barnabas Health System. Dr. Maroon, how are you doing?
Excellent. Good to be here with you again, Jeff.
Thank you. We have an interesting show today. We're going to talk about something that many people might not have realized, although you certainly live with it every day and live with the consequences. And we're going to talk about gut health. Gut is another name, obviously, for our intestines. It's a topic that may seem indelicate to some, but it's very important. The relationship between the brain and gut and so many other organ systems and how we digest food. And I think a lot of people will be able to relate. We have a question from a listener who talks about her daughter. She writes, "My daughter is a big advocate for probiotics." Probiotics, Dr. Maroon, that's our topic of this question. She wants me to get started on it, and she's asking me, you know, is it something good for me? I have no idea what they do. I don't know anything about them. Could it upset me? Can you advise me? So it's someone whose daughter wants them to take probiotics, a dietary supplement. Many people have heard of it. It's certainly in yogurt and other television commercials you hear daily on as far as dietary supplements as well. But this person's a little reticent, maybe has not heard about it. Can you tell me a little bit about what probiotics are?
Well, probiotics means good biotics or good bacteria, Jeff. So I think we have to go back and look at what's called the microbiome.
Wow.
The microbiome is what our intestinal tract is all about, in the sense that we have 90 to 100 trillion bacteria in our gut, in our large and small intestine. And these bacteria have a profound—
I think everyone at home is saying, ooh.
Well, these bacteria, which together weigh 2 to 6 pounds in our intestinal tract, are associated with over 10,000 different species of bacteria in our bodies, and 1,000 species of bacteria in our gastrointestinal tract. So let's think about it. We have 100 trillion total bacteria in our bodies, 90 trillion in our gut, and of those in our gut, 1,000 different species of bacteria in our gut, with
phenomenal
which weighs
numbers,
2 to 6 pounds. So what's the significance of this? Well, it's these bacteria that really contribute so much to our body health, but also our brain health as well. We speak about the mind-body connection, and there's also the mind-gut connection. The bacteria in our gut result in the production of many of the same neurotransmitters or chemicals that function at the synaptic connections in our brain, where neurons or brain cells are joined together. Many psychiatric conditions now are being related to the types of bacteria that are in our gut. Some bacteria in patients who are depressed are more prolific than others. So the question about probiotics, which means taking healthy biotics, is under the premise or aegis that healthy biotics or healthy bacteria can lead to improved or better health of our bodies as well as our brains. And certainly there's much scientific evidence to support that. But we're very early in the scientific discovery of which specific probiotics affect specific functions in our body and our brain. So probiotics are very widespread and used. We have a lot more to learn about them, however.
Well, I mean, that's a great start to our topic today, the idea of gut health and what the intestines and stomach do for us. I know the anatomy of it is we eat a hamburger or a sandwich or something, and it goes into our stomach and gets broken down. Then it goes into our small intestines, where a lot of the carbohydrates or sugars are absorbed. But then the colon is what you're really talking about, where the gut is described having the bacteria that really can help with digestion, help with the immune function, help by extracting certain vitamins and minerals. In that codependency or symbiosis is one of the words that they describe, the idea of another living creature, another living organism living inside our gut. There must be some benefits to both. What are some of the things that can enhance that microbiome that allow us to get the most out of it, if you will?
Well, again, so much goes back to garbage in, garbage out in the sense of diet. If we have a diet that is very high in fiber, in various types of nutrients, vegetables, grains, and fruits, nuts, seeds, legumes, all of these are products, both insoluble and soluble, that contribute to the health of our bacteria. So just as an example, for instance, and associated with some disease conditions, there's a chemical compound called butyric acid, which we get from the kind of foods that I mentioned, that contributes to the thickness and the integrity of the mucus that lines our intestinal tract. So what's the importance of the mucus that lines our intestinal tract? I mean, we all, when we have a cold, we know the mucus from our nose, but there's a similar material that lines our intestinal. And if it's not the right consistency, the right turgor, the right viscosity, food products can actually leak through the cells that line the intestinal tract and enter our bloodstream as foreign bodies. This is one of the components of autoimmune diseases.
Are you describing leaky gut syndrome?
That's exactly right, Jeff. That's called the leaky gut syndrome. And what happens when food products don't get digested and leak into the bloodstream, our innate immune system sees this as a foreign body, and it can be associated with autoimmune diseases, such as rheumatoid arthritis, such as vascular problems associated with the immune system, scleroderma. All these are autoimmune systems where the body attacks itself. And the gut can be a very important nidus or source for these kinds of problems. So very early on, what we eat, how we eat, vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, peas, grains, fruits, all of these contribute to the health of our intestinal tract, but more so to our body and also our brain.
One of the things I find fascinating in learning about this subject is the idea of allergies, the idea of, we've heard of peanut allergies and all kind of food allergies, and how that might be related to the leaky gut syndrome, where those foods enter into the cell walls of the gut and are absorbed because the microbiome is not functioning well and the gut isn't efficient. And all of a sudden you have these antigens in your blood and you set up an allergic reaction to them and your body fights them. And the same, you know, if you ever ate them again, you'd have an allergic response. So the idea of the linkage between allergies, especially food allergies, and the gut not functioning well is fascinating to me. And I think it's getting more exploration. So getting back to the question, Dr. Maroon, you know, the idea of the benefits of probiotics, to have a healthy, functioning microbiome, some of the benefits of that relative to, you mentioned already having that mucus membrane, if you will, along the intestinal tract working better, the idea of perhaps having a better immune function, extracting vitamins and certain minerals, I know bacteria can do. And then you mentioned butyric acid, the idea of producing a molecule that the body uses for energy. And I think that's phenomenal that we're discovering all these different purposes that the gut does for us when we just thought, you know, it was just whatever came out in the toilet, so to speak. So it's really changed our view of it. There are so a number of medical conditions. Irritable bowel syndrome, for example, is a very common condition that a lot of people have. Have they seen any benefits with probiotics and the functioning of the gut with irritable bowel syndrome?
Yeah, they really have, Jeff. And things like irritable bowel syndrome, and also there's a super infection like C. difficile, which is a condition that results from antibiotics. We know that artificial sweeteners, antibiotics, both can affect and alter the function of the microbiome. So in irritable bowel syndrome and infections, super infections like C. difficile, antibiotics actually can be major contributors to ill health. And as difficult as it may sound, one of the most effective treatments now for these kinds of problems are considerations of fecal transplants. In other words,
what are you saying, Dr. Maroon?
I'm saying they literally take waste material or feces from healthy patients, actually look at the microbiome in this, and have donors in which the feces are then encapsulated and injected into the colon of individuals to repopulate the microbiome of patients with unhealthy bacteria.
That's phenomenal. I think I'd rather take a probiotic, though. Take it daily. So there's probiotics, but I've also heard about prebiotics, the idea of food, if you will, that is more beneficial to our colon and our bacteria in our gut than others. Some of the prebiotics are just as beneficial to our gut as probiotics, or maybe a combination of both.
Or maybe even more so, Jeff. And the prebiotics that we talked about are the foods that I mentioned, that beans, peas, high fiber types of material in terms of corn bran, some wheat products, potato skins, zucchini, celery, all of these high fiber content foods are prebiotics. In other words, they provide nutrition or food, if you would, for the bacteria in our gut to digest and then make healthy compounds that are protective to our microbiome and our gut health.
Well, that sounds like an easy way to get the fibers that we need. Those sound like great foods to me, and certainly there are fiber supplements as well that you could take to help build the microbiome. We're going to be back shortly. We're going to use the question of our listener to segue into energy for the gut, and Dr. Maroon already mentioned it, the idea of butyric acid and how we actually got interested in that to fight brain tumors. So we'll be right back.
It's been stated before that working at St. Barnabas is compassionate work with excellent career opportunities. In addition, we have heard when you enjoy what you're doing every day, it's not work. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen in to what motivates their employees.
I am Anne-Marie Sandor, and I'm a nurse practitioner at St. Barnabas Health System. I am motivated by the good outcomes that our residents at St. Barnabas attain. Not only is physical health important, emotional, spiritual, and social health is important to maintain optimal health. Together with the residents' family involvement and support staff, there are many activities to enrich daily living at St. Barnabas. Every day provides new opportunity to keep residents healthy. I am fortunate to have a job where I can make all of this happen.
Find out about the exceptional career opportunities St. Barnabas has to offer by visiting stbarnabashealthsystem.com/careers for more information or by calling 724-444-JOBS. That's 724-444-5627. Find out why St. Barnabas is apart from the ordinary.
Now back to Living Well with Dr. Joseph Maroon and Jeff Bost.
Welcome back to Living Well. Again, my name is Jeff Bost, and I'm here with neurosurgeon and wellness expert, Dr. Joseph Maroon. Living Well is sponsored by St. Barnabas Health System. St. Barnabas has retirement communities throughout Western Pennsylvania that focus on wellness at any age. Well, Dr. Maroon, we learned a lot about the gut in the first half of the show, and the question was the benefit of probiotics. And I think we could both agree that having a healthy, active microbiome, the healthy gut within our bacteria, is extremely important. And we also were talking a little bit about prebiotics, the types of food that you can use to help benefit the gut and feed the gut. And I mentioned that we've also used some of that information to help perhaps prevent or even treat brain tumors. And that's a long about route, but it's actually true. When we talked earlier about the idea of butyric acid being produced in the gut, that's an energy molecule, just similar in, for example, like ATP that the body uses and makes energy. Well, butyric acid is produced in the gut as one of its byproducts, and we use it as energy. But butyric acid is in a family called ketones, Dr. Maroon, as you know. And ketones are something that goes back to our metabolism and actually goes back to a very interesting diet that many people are more familiar with, is the ketogenic diet. And can you explain why a ketogenic diet has become popular in the general public and why you became interested in it as perhaps a way to fight malignant brain tumors?
Well, Jeff, we have to go way back, and from a historical viewpoint, to when we were on the savannah in Africa, and our modus of—
That wasn't when you climbed Mount Kilimanjaro.
I was there. That's how old I feel. But when we go back, what was our modus of surviving then? It was feast and famine. So when we had the opportunity to gormandize, if you would, on the kill or the whatever we were eating at the time, we would eat as much as we could, and we would store up the excess calories in terms of fat, so that in times of famine or extreme stress, the fat would be broken down into energy to help us survive any adversity.
So there were no refrigerators on the savannah back then.
No refrigerators and no way to store a whole lot, much food, quite frankly. So we stored it in our fat. So when there was a time of famine, we would break down the fat. And in the breaking down of fat, you mentioned ketone bodies are formed. And ketone bodies are an energy source produced by the liver that enables us to survive and maintain our metabolic rate and continue to live by breaking down our fat. And what was discovered is these ketone bodies also can be used in therapeutic form for a dietary manipulation to lose weight, to not ingest carbohydrates, and also as an adjunct for the treatment of many types of cancer.
Wow. So it's a little bit of a roundabout way, but understanding ketones and the ketogenic diet and the idea that the gut produces a ketone called butyric acid, it's certainly all related, and it all goes back to really energy production, the idea how we produce energy for our body, how we use that energy, and where does that energy come from? Well, 99.9% of our energy comes from the food we eat. And so there's carbohydrates, there's fats, and there's proteins. And those are our three basic food groups. And how we mix and match those types of foods depends on how we will produce energy. So, for example, if we eat a lot of carbohydrates, which is sugar, we'll use that primarily as our energy source. Protein can also be broken down into energy sources, but it takes a little longer. Whereas fat, as we know, is the storage molecule. It breaks down, but instead of producing a glucose-type molecule as its energy source, it produces a ketone energy molecule. So that energy molecule is a way we could survive, for example, without eating carbohydrates. And that's what the ketogenic, you might have heard of the Atkins diet, for example, which uses mostly meat and healthy fats instead of using a lot of carbohydrates. Now, Dr. Maroon, our Western diet certainly isn't like that.
Well, it isn't, Jeff. So, I mean, we're getting a little scientific, but so what are the practical health benefits of a ketogenic diet? Number one, it certainly can facilitate weight loss. Number two, it enhances brain function and protects our brain, and it makes us less reliant on glucose and insulin. And one of the problems, let's talk about Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease is oftentimes related to as type 3 diabetes because the insulin levels are very high, and Alzheimer's disease is significantly more prevalent in patients with diabetes who have generally higher blood levels.
So sugars.
A ketogenic diet actually can enhance cognition and enhance awareness and enhance brain function. So think back again to the savannah when we were hungry and we're breaking down carbohydrates and fat to form ketones. What happens to us sensually? And when I mean sensually, what happens when you're hungry in terms of your smell, your taste, your vision, your hearing? All of these senses become more acute. They become more acute because from an evolutionary biological basis, you're on the hunt, so to speak. You're looking to survive, and you're looking for food, which enhances our senses. So that the ketogenic diet has those benefits, and the normal sugar, blood level of sugar in a normal diet is 80 to 120. With the ketogenic diet, the normal blood sugar ranges between 65 and 80. So there's less glucose, less sugar, and more of the butyric acid, which is very, very helpful in that regard.
So that butyric acid shift provides the energy that someone who's on a ketogenic diet, for example, needs. And I know the ketogenic diet is also associated with improved longevity that they've looked at as well, the idea of preserving the body through ketogenic diets. So there's a lot of benefits that we've seen. But it's certainly, Dr. Maroon, you mentioned diabetes. It's certainly not recommended for a diabetic because once you have diabetes, you need to have that carbohydrate if you're taking any medication. So we would certainly recommend you to seek your doctor out and not change your diet relative to having the condition of diabetes already. So we know now a little bit about energy and how the body uses energy, but brain cell tumors don't use that kind of energy, and that's what got you interested in using the ketogenic diet or ketones like butyric acid for the treatment or reduction of malignant brain tumors.
Well, that's right, Jeff. And again, we have to go into evolutionary biology. A cancer or a tumor is it's a new development in an evolutionary old body. And cancers are completely dependent on glucose or sugar for their metabolism. So you've heard of PET scans, which are given to detect cancer any place in the body. And what a PET scan does, it's an infusion of a radioactive sugar, which is taken up by malignant tumors any place in the body and then lights up on a Geiger counter or a scan, so to speak. So being completely dependent on glucose, whereas our bodies, being older from an evolutionary viewpoint, can also survive to a larger extent on ketone bodies. So basically, the strategy for treating almost any cancer in someone who can tolerate it is to starve the tumor of glucose by not taking in more than 50 to 70 grams of sugar or glucose a day, and supply the body with fuel with a ketogenic diet. So you starve the tumor, prevent it from metabolizing sugar and growing, and you feed the body with butyric acid and hydroxybutyrate and other ketone bodies for survival.
Dr. Maroon, I'm going to ask you a personal question. You've tried that diet. I know that that was not easy.
You're correct, Jeff. It's difficult to do. You're actually eating a very high fat diet with obviously 50 grams of sugar is not much at all. But it's interesting, after 2 to 3 days of this, one becomes accustomed to it. And again, the thinking, the cognition, the ability to function actually is at a higher level. You function more, you're sharper. And there are even athletes who use a ketogenic diet in competition for increased energy and endurance.
Right. It's not easy, and certainly if you do have cancer or any condition where you're thinking about the ketogenic diet, certainly ask your physician first. It is a significant change from our Western diet, which is mostly sugars. And so there is a transfer or a transition between the two diets that are somewhat rough. And again, if you're a diabetic, obviously that is not for you. Dr. Maroon, what do you think about the idea of taking exogenous ketones, the idea of not going through that decreased calorie diet, that starvation diet that increases ketones, and use ketone bodies just like butyric acid? Is that something that we may be able to do in the future?
I think this is something that is actually, there are companies now, Jeff, that manufacture ketone bodies that are therapeutic in enhancing ketosis without the difficulty of fasting excessively.
So ketosis would be to have more ketones in your body showing up in your blood as far as their ability to produce energy for you.
That's correct.
So and
there are products on the market that can facilitate this and are used by some for athletic to enhance athletic performance.
Right. So this is a evolutionary discussion today that goes back to the gut and energy and how we survive in the savannas of Africa. It's quite a lot of topics today. Dr. Maroon, I'd like to thank you again for joining us. It was fascinating. We're going to have more wellness tips in the future. But for now, I thank you all and have a great day.
Of the many things that make St. Barnabas Health System apart from the ordinary is an appreciation for their employees, an act that does not go unnoticed. Let's learn more about what this means from one of their employees.
Hello, my name is Emily Tahansky. I am thankful for being able to help people in my job. Whether I'm teaching an aerobics class that keeps residents active, maintaining the pool for all to enjoy, or helping residents explore the next level of care needed for their safety, it feels wonderful to be a positive in many ways.
Find out about the exceptional career opportunities St. Barnabas has to offer by visiting stbarnabashealthsystem.com/careers for more information, or by calling 724-444-JOBS. That's 724-444-5627. Find out why St. Barnabas is apart from the ordinary.
Thanks for listening to Living Well, a special segment on Beaver County Radio designed to help you enjoy the best, most fulfilling, and healthiest life possible. Archived podcasts of this episode are available on the St. Barnabas Radio Network streaming app. Living Well with Dr. Joseph Maroon and Jeff Bost is presented by St. Barnabas. Clinical information was provided for educational purposes, not as a medical or professional service. Always remember that the varying views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on this radio show do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of St. Barnabas Health System, St. Barnabas Broadcasting, nor any organization the hosts may be affiliated with. Tune in next Friday at 12:30 for another insightful edition of Living Well, right here on WBBP Beaver Falls and WMBA Ambridge, along with 99.3 FM and 95.7 FM.